Welcome back to the MVH podcast, Money Buys Happiness. Guys, it's been too long. It's been way too long since we ripped the boys pod. And what we're doing right now is just ripping a fucking boys pod straight up. There's not much more to it, right?
It's sunny in here, as you could tell.
Yeah, it's sunny.
Me and Matt experiencing a lot of sun here.
Yeah.
And we got Matt with us.
Yeah.
What's up? It's Matt.
How you doing?
Good. Just put the sun away a bit.
All right. Yeah? Okay, no, that's good. Yeah, listen, the boys are in Tulum, as you guys probably know. We've been tagging along with the stories and shit like that, but yeah, honestly, it's been too long since we did a boys pod, so we wanted to just kind of get into it. I know everyone wants to know first. Before I have some pretty fucking crazy questions to ask you guys. We're gonna go through waves, okay? We're gonna go through like funny shit, serious shit, sad shit. I'm gonna fuck you guys up, okay?
You can't fuck me up.
I love getting fucked
because also like for context, guys, they have no idea like what I have planned for this episode. They're just sitting in, and this is more of like a Dr. Phil style.
I'm not scared.
That's why the shades are here. These are the emotional shades.
Oh, okay.
So it's starting to get heated.
Okay.
I'm gonna throw them on.
Well, you already have them. Oh.
No, I'm not heated right now.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll take them off.
I think if anyone would be scared, it's Matt. It's not me.
That's 100%.
So let's just make that clear.
I want to get Matt scared, but first and foremost, I want to just start quickly with why are we in Tulum right now?
So we are in Tulum because we like to come here and reset. Just reset our habits, reset our thinking. You know, we're in Toronto. It's very busy. There's a lot of distractions. It's not as sunny, so you don't get as much sunlight. You need that vitamin D to think right. But we've been doing this for years, bro. We come here, kind of game plan the next year, manifest what we want to do, put it down on paper, push shit into action.
And it's been nice because, like, I can see our growth from like the level of place that we're staying at.
Yes.
Like think about the first year we came, we were in this like little dinky condo.
Then we were in a less dinky one. And it was still dinky.
Yeah.
But we kept moving up, moving up
dinky,
the ranks.
Less dinky.
And I think we're kind of doing that on purpose though too. It's like we are like when we got this place, now we're in a villa, beautiful villa.
Yeah, beautiful.
And it was kind of like, yeah, we deserve it, but yeah, we started in the slums.
Yeah.
But it's been great. I mean, I would say for us, me and you, Tulum probably changed the course of our life the first time we came.
A lot.
And it's just great energy. For anyone that hasn't been to Tulum, you're pretty much just in a jungle. And the people around too, everyone's super like-minded. Mm-hmm. It feels like everyone's aligned on the same path, setting goals, working hard, but also enjoying life at the same time. So I feel like this is a great place to come whenever you feel like you got a busy mind.
So would you say this is a good place for energy?
Yes, energies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
100%.
Okay, so then on the topic of energy,
mm-hmm.
I want to ask you guys about something that I like to call seed retention.
Ooh,
Shit, man.
That's great.
Where the fuck can go?
I was like trying to get motivational there for a second.
I just sucked up my sacrum right now.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, let's go.
For me, it's all about seed retention, okay?
Before you do that quickly,
yeah.
If you haven't been to Tulum, go to Tulum. Come to Tulum because even for the first time you come here is a charm.
Yeah.
You're going to see life in a different way. We had our shooter, Jason, with us. It was his first time out here. And I never seen the man so happy. He was happy. Yeah. He was glowing.
Yeah, he was glowing.
But anyways, get to Tulum. Let's get to the seed retention.
Holy fuck. Seed retention, boys, okay?
Can we get a definition, please?
Because we're talking about energy, I want to talk about seed retention.
Can we get it in a sentence, please?
Yeah. So for context, guys, seed retention is this thing that I've been seeing a lot online recently, obviously with the whole birth of like the masculine fucking bullshit and all that stuff. People have been talking about seed retention. Seed retention is basically just not busting nuts, like just not coming, right?
Yep.
Not shooting out the sperm all over the place.
Becoming a FAPS or not?
Well, no. Like it's not even just about like masturbating. Mm-hmm. It's actually about like having sex too.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
just, like,
yeah, just, yeah, just yeah. Coming out of your penis.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. So, I want to know what your guys' opinion is on that. I don't know if you've ever tried to retain your seed or not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very curious. I haven't.
I mean, you want to go? You want to take the?
You know what? I don't think I've got like. I've gone long.
Mm-hmm.
We need dates.
Context. I think it's
for long.
We need time frames.
How long?
Like I've probably done like a couple months.
Okay.
No, you haven't.
Yeah.
Listen, we're on we can't lie on camera.
I'm not.
Okay.
But that's not like, I'm just talking about masturbating though. That's the thing.
Or you're having sex.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's
no. So
you just missed the whole.
Yeah.
Definition.
No, I know. But for me, it was more like no jerking off. Uh huh. And how long can you go without that? But then the in betweens, you know, well, that is what it is. I think it's.
Wow. No, look,
that's crazy.
So I did it wrong. But I've studied this shit, like, kind of. Like, I've seen videos, I've talked to a lot of people about it. And it just goes back to, like, a lot of the ancient times. Uh-huh. A lot of the ancient, like, the different groups. There's something about it in all of the groups, you know? And it comes down to, like, this. It's your life force.
Sure.
It's a life force energy. Mm. And it's powerful shit.
Yeah.
Right, but I think it's more so like, are there going to be like physical day-to-day benefits? Like I might walk around, maybe a little bit more energy and things like that. Sure, but I think it's more on like an energetic, spiritual level if you can practice it.
Mm. Like, would you say it's more about like the discipline, or do you think there's actually like holy fuck, bro? You don't bust a nut, you're fucking. I think more powerful. Like, I don't know.
I think it comes more. More down to like an in-depth spiritual approach. Like if you're utilizing this built up life force through like a meditation, like whether that be like a Kundalini or like
a what?
Kundalini.
What the fuck is a Kundalini?
Or like Joe Dispenza.
No, we need a definition. We can't just say
I can't really Kundalini. Give you. It's all about like the different energy centers.
Okay.
Mm. And bringing the energy up.
Okay.
That's interesting.
You know, and people have like a Kundalini awakening. So it's like the seed literally going through, and like Joe Dispenza practices, he has a certain type of breath work where he preaches, it's you essentially like tighten up your sacrum, uh-huh. and then your abdomen, and you push the breath up through the throat, uh-huh. essentially like pushing that life force through the spinal cord to hit your pineal gland. So and it charges the pineal gland. Yes, it starts down there.
Damn.
Because that's your, and it clears up your lower like survival centers. Mm-hmm. And it, once it hits the pineal gland, it charges it like with an electromagnetic charge. And that charge can cause an experience.
Is that real? Like,
yeah, man.
Who the fuck is Joe Dispenza, first and foremost?
You don't know Joe Dispenza?
No, he's
wow,
huge.
Man.
He's
you need
massive.
To
he's Joe, massive.
This, read Becoming Supernatural.
Yeah.
This guy, he's just amazing.
He's just huge? Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's fuck. Shout out Joe Dispenza. How long have you gone without busting a nut?
What time is it? Seriously, what time
in
is
general,
it?
Though, in general.
You know, like, I don't think, first of all, I don't think I believe in seed retention.
Okay.
With all due respect to those that engage in seed retention. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I watched a great movie, Wolf of Wall Street. Mm-hmm. Matthew McConaughey, mm-hmm. talking to Leo DeCap. And he asked him, how many times are you jerking off a day? I think Leo said a couple.
Yeah.
Said those are rookie numbers. Got to get the numbers up.
Get the numbers up.
Mm. Listen, for me, seed retention is... Okay, so seed retention is not jerking off and not having sex.
Yeah.
It's both.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not like... If you're going to do it, you got to do both. You know? So I don't think you ever did it.
I've never done both.
I think as a man, it could be a stress reliever. First of all, to have sex or to masturbate.
Yeah.
I mean, like, when you have sex with a woman, mm-hmm. and you're done, like, within the next couple hours, you feel like, you know, you're like, okay, let's go now. I would say you feel more masculine.
Yeah, you have energy.
You have an energy about you where you're like, oh, let's go, like, or you just feel better or something to it, right? I don't believe in it.
Okay.
I don't think I ever will. Maybe one day when. I'm 65.
Yeah.
And my little guy down there doesn't even work. I believe whoever made up seed retention probably couldn't have that much sex.
just wasn't busting proper nuts.
No, just couldn't get a female.
Ah.
So they made up this whole thing called seed retention.
I'm going to send you guys a video after.
Yeah.
So they made up this thing called seed retention to make themselves feel better.
Yeah.
And then they promoted it to the world. Listen, I don't think you should be masturbating 40 times a day.
So, but at the same time,
yeah,
I believe your guy down there, he needs some action every once in a while, dude. Do I believe in like, okay, but this is a whole thing because then you get into porn, right?
That's the thing.
Well, that's what I was going to go
with.
That's
the next thing.
You can get into porn that way, which is like an addiction
and shit. That's the next thing, because that's just a slippery slope.
Well, I'll actually speak to that.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I went on a pretty... I've never done seed retention.
Yeah.
I've never even...
Like, how long does it have to be part of seed retention?
Listen,
how long?
Listen, I don't know, and I've never tried
it. So if it's 24 hours, I've done it.
I don't know, never tried it, and I don't plan on trying to do that.
Like, what's the time?
But the thing is this, like, I've done like no jerking off for probably 5 months, something like that.
Okay, but you're having sex.
But I'm having sex, whatever.
That doesn't count. No, it literally doesn't count.
No, but I'm fuck seed retention. Okay, fuck, I'm just okay, saying in general. It. Now, because I'm talking about porn. Now.
Yes.
So I've done that, and which I thought was a good thing.
Yeah.
Because I can understand the like demonic, like weird aspect of porn. And the reason I can understand it, I think, even more is because, like, if I think back to, like, when I first discovered porn.
Yeah.
And I was jerking off, like, a little...
With the tweezers?
With a little horn, like a little horn dog.
You guys remember for your first time?
Okay.
We'll jump into that.
Go there in a second. Yeah.
This is insane.
I will say this. The porn that I, like, back in the day, when I first started, like, jerking off, watching porn, like anything. Like I could watch anything.
Yeah.
Like whatever. It could have just been like so simple, like just missionary.
And I used
like
to watch BET.
E-Bombs World.
Anything, bro. Like I could get anything. Pamela Anderson. Could get the job done.
That's crazy.
But now, I'm not going to say now because I mean like as I got older, I needed to like watch certain levels of like more like hardcore shit.
Okay, hold on. Where are we going here?
Define hardcore. I'm just going to explain to you. Okay, let's just say first, bro, like it literally could just be like two people fucking whatever, having the most like vanilla sex. And it was like enough for me because I'd never seen that before, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But as time goes on and you keep watching porn, the vanilla stuff doesn't do the job anymore.
Yep.
So porn starts to become similar to like, let's say drugs, where it's like first like, yo, okay, one little bump of cocaine is good. And then all of a sudden...
Even before that, like, let me smoke some weed, then let me take some Molly, and let me do some 2C.
And then eventually, you're fucking, like, you need hardcore drugs.
Yeah.
So that can be, that same thing can be said about porn, where it's like, oh, okay, first I'm good with just watching this vanilla sex, and I'm this young kid, I never experienced it, and this is good for me.
Mm-hmm.
But as time goes on and you get addicted to the feeling, the level of like weirdness of the porn ends up changing, right?
Yep.
And that's how people get fucked up. So you end up watching like, bro, then it turns into like a threesome. Mm-hmm. Then you might throw in a little spicy, bro. All of a sudden it needs to be like
Then
it's the stepsister. Then it's like the role play. No, but seriously, then bro, people go down this rabbit hole of all of a sudden, like, bro, they got to start watching cuck porn and all this crazy shit, bro. And it's a real thing. But then the problem with that is, it ends up going beyond porn and it goes into their real lives.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
100%. Like, dude, I knew this guy. I'll never say names because it's so embarrassing, but I knew this guy who he couldn't come from fucking his girlfriend. So what he would do is him and his girlfriend would fuck.
Yeah.
She'd come. Then he'd get up, go to the bathroom and watch porn to finish.
I got to see this girlfriend though.
With all due respect. Well, no, it's fucked. But
that's how fucked it can get.
Can I say something though? If his girlfriend was 300 pounds,
no.
It's not my cup of tea, bro.
I'm telling you, but bro, he wouldn't even get hard. Like if you were not that attracted, you wouldn't even get hard.
Yeah, he's an addict.
This is how fucked it gets, right?
Yeah, it's toxic.
So I get the seed retention thing, but it can get deeper than that. Porn gets really fucked. I try to stay away from it. Every man has their moments.
Yeah, of course.
Which I think I want to ask you this question. Do you think watching porn is a form of cheating if you're in a relationship?
I don't think it's a form of cheating because it's just like it becomes such a social norm without knowing the effects it can have. You know, like you'll actually appreciate your girl so much if you don't jerk off to porn.
Yeah, true.
Like
doesn't that kind of make it cheating in a way?
Yeah, I mean, if you want, it's probably better if you look at it that way.
Yeah.
Come from a moral standpoint to like stop you from doing that, you know? But if you're fucking rubbing it out every single day, different shit, getting all this like different like flavors, fixes, hardcore, whatever, and then like your girl's down by the end of the day and you're fucking drained, like you're not showing up to that tennis match, you know?
No.
You're not.
100%.
I think everything's balance, you know?
Yeah.
It's all about balance. I used to look at porn as a way to learn how to properly have sex.
Okay.
Like and to learn new
ways. I mean, like there's that discovery phase. I mean?
Okay, listen. There's an educational
factor. There is an educational factor. Definitely an educational factor.
There is an educational factor at the beginning.
Yeah.
At the beginning. Yeah. Right. But again, that's the same with everything. Am I going to demonize porn to an extent where it's like, oh my God, porn is the worst thing to happen right now? There's worse things to me. Yeah. There's worse things happening in the world than porn. And I mean, what would you say is worse, being addicted to porn or being addicted to cocaine?
Depends who you ask, I think. Are you asking me, like,
specifically? I'm asking you, yeah.
Obviously, I'm going to say cocaine.
Okay, yeah, so yeah. It's not like people are going around saying, what's with all the cocaine everywhere, and people are getting addicted?
No, they are doing that. No, not as much as
porn right now. Porn is like, that's like a media thing right now that's happening.
Well, because it's also, I think it's taken over.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people's lives.
Okay, how about this? How about crack?
No, there's a huge crack.
Crack is legal in places in Canada.
Yeah, but that's because Canada's fucking retarded.
I'm just saying there's bigger problems, right? Do I think a guy should be like all in on porn where it's like, bro, that's your life? Absolutely not. Like, use it. There's educational purposes to porn, but don't start going crazy down a rabbit hole where all you need is porn. You can't even have sex with a person, or you can't get hard, or you need it to finish off your sexual intercourse. That's wrong.
But there's also power in not jerking off too. Like, you feel fucking solid. No, about
you
it.
Do. You 100%
know?
You do.
Like, you know, there's little triggers and shit. You might get like the morning hour. Saw this in the morning. Like, you're scrolling, you know. Yeah. And you're like, no, I'm not going to do it. Like, okay, that's a fucking, take that as a dub.
But listen, at the same time, it's like, there's balance to be had.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go to extremes with all this shit. You know, it's there. Is it demonic? Is it satanic? Probably, yes. But again.
Okay, so let me ask
we're all human beings. Let me ask you this.
Because clearly, from what I'm getting, the point you're making is you're not going to judge somebody on their porn
usage.
Okay, no. Okay, fine. So
if it's affecting them to the point like your boy, like you said, okay, dude, stop watching porn, bro.
Okay.
Please.
Okay, but let me ask you guys this question. If you found out like one of your good boys, like one of your really good friends has like a really fucking weird like sex kink.
That's different.
No, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
If you found out one of your boys has a really weird like sex kink.
Mm-hmm.
Would you look at him differently?
What's the kink?
Okay, let me
give me an example.
Let me give you an example. If one of your good homies, okay,
mm-hmm.
asked you to fuck his girl,
yeah,
are you gonna look at him differently?
100%.
That's a fucking problem, bro.
No questions asked.
That's a problem.
That's fine.
See, like those are the problems I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's
a
problem.
Okay, so let me ask you.
No, question. Like, don't ask your best. If that's your thing, like, go talk to a fucking random.
No,
don't
but I still think that's fucking weird. I'll be honest. That's
like,
fucking weird.
You're gonna be like, if you find a random, like, you know, I've been approached when I was like fucking 19 at a resort, and this guy's like, can you come home and have dinner with me and my wife and blah blah blah. Uh-huh. Like, you're gonna go and do that, find some random you're never gonna see again. Yeah. Okay, but if it's like your best boy, asking you to bang his girl, who you're gonna consistently see,
well,
I'm gonna do it. But I'm gonna think you're weird, man.
Well, okay,
and like, I'll be honest.
And the reason that I'm bringing this up is because I was involved in a situation like this.
Yeah. Really?
I had a long time ago, though. Okay. Long time ago, I had a really good friend of mine.
And he's already developing kinks like that.
Ask me if I'd be interested in smashing his girl.
Yeah.
How old were you?
This was a long time ago.
Bro. No. How old were you?
Like, how old were you?
Late teens.
Bro, that guy's already about that shit? He's already about that life?
That's a huge problem.
So
not for you, that's not a problem. For him, it's a problem.
And how old's this girl? Same age?
She was, I think, maybe like a couple years older than us at the time.
So was it her?
No. So it was him.
This was him.
So it was him. So he it was like late night. We were like stoned, like just smoking the dube in my car, like the classic outside his house. Like, I'm about to drop him off.
That's even crazier.
And then he hits me with like, yo, listen, bro, like, you're my close boy and I wouldn't really want to ask anybody else this, but like, you know, would you be interested in smashing my girl? And I was like, bro, what? He's like, yeah, bro, like, I don't know. It's something that me and her have talked about. And you know, we thought you'd be the right guy to ask because I trust you. She trusts you because I trust you. So what are you down? And bro, like, I was shocked. And I was like, dude, like, I got to think about this. I'm not going to lie. I thought about it.
you're for sure going to think about it.
Cause I don't know. Cause I'm just a guy. I was a little horn dog, whatever. I thought about it. And I didn't do it, but it was a weird thing. And so now, okay, so I'll put it into perspective. And long story short, I don't talk to this guy anymore. Like that's the way.
So God knows what he's doing now.
That's the way it went. Well, holy well. Here's another thing. Well, I go on to find out later. Okay, so this same guy, from some of my other friends later on in the game so apparently the same guy one night at this club in Toronto, I won't name the club, he loses his phone, and some girls end up finding his phone that know who he is.
Okay.
Okay. These girls end up bringing the phone to the booth that he's at. And, you know, these girls were savages. They go up to, like, some of our boys, not to him. And they go, we found this guy's phone. And look what's on it. And what's on it is he has notifications from Grindr. From the app Grindr.
Oh my God.
Interesting.
You know, okay, here's the
So
there's one solution.
You guys know, for context, I know you guys know what Grindr is.
Unfortunately. Yeah, of course.
So for context, if you don't know what Grindr is, it's like Tinder for like gay people. It's like,
yeah, it's a gay dating app
where guys find
you can find Matt on it.
Pat
actually.
Sorry, Pat.
So
yeah, there's one solution.
Yeah, what?
Church.
Yeah.
Go to church, bro. Go to church every fucking day. Yeah. Like, go pray, dude, that, like, you can change your life.
Just bathe in holy
water.
At
that point, dude, there's no therapist. There's no job. There's no exercise that you can do. Church.
But do you think then he's gay?
No, I think he's fucked.
Yeah.
There's two different things. And
well, at that age.
Well, like you said it, right? You start, trying to do more and more different things. You start getting into these weird kinks.
He might have needed that dude because he wasn't getting off by his chick because he's gay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Which, again, we have nothing.
At that age, especially.
We have nothing against gay people.
Not ready to come out.
We have nothing against gay people. If you're gay and proud, I love it. Mm. But we're talking about someone that's going through phases when all he really needed was church.
Yeah.
Was the good old Catholic Church.
Was Jesus Christ.
Someone get that guy a Bible.
Our Lord, our Savior.
Jesus. You know, I would personally put him in solitary confinement for about 6 months with a Bible. And if he comes out still fucked, then you can't help everyone, but that's the last resort he has.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's... okay.
Talk from experience.
Okay, but let me ask you a question.
I'm just trying to help.
Okay. Let me ask you a question, though. Do you cut him off?
Do I cut him off?
Or do you try to help?
I mean, I wouldn't cut him off to the point where it's like, bro, like, I don't want to be your friend. I would just be like, dude, like, you probably need to figure your stuff out, you know?
Uh-huh.
Get a 5-minute journal. Shout out 5-minute journal. They're not even sponsoring us, but shout them out. They could change your life.
Okay, let me ask you guys this then.
Reflect.
I want to know, have you guys ever used dating apps?
Of course. I'm on a few right now.
Are you? Like, yeah. Actually,
I'm on Hinge right now, and it's a blast.
Is it?
You know what, man?
How about you, man?
Like a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
After my first relationship, I was on
I'm just there for fun times, just to see what happens.
You know what, man? Just the energy it takes to fucking, like, it just, I can't, bro.
It's literally like,
I need to be like an in-person dude. Like, I'm like,
I know, but you're
organic,
just
in-person, cool.
So, hold on. So you're never on Instagram or TikTok looking for a potential woman that you can take out?
If you want to consider Instagram, I'm always on, yeah.
So what's the difference?
I'm not engaging like that, though.
How are you engaging?
I'm not really engaging.
Listen.
Hold on. Okay.
This is getting crazy.
Let me hold on.
I'm not going to Instagram with the fucking goal to like...
No, it's not
the goal. Let me see how many girls I can DM.
That's fair.
I'm not doing that.
But it could
happen. Same idea. It's the same energy. But it happens naturally. Sure. I'll have a nice conversation.
I know, but the basis of these dating apps is literally like swipe left, swipe right, and you're seeing a woman, and you're either...
Yeah, I'm not against it. I'm just saying I just never use it.
Okay, so let me ask you guys
I love it in person.
Because I've never used a dating app.
I know. Hold on. I know a successful marriage from Tinder.
Oh,
like,
same.
I know two people that met on Tinder. Same. They had a healthy relationship and they got married.
I know a successful marriage off of Bumble. Yeah.
Yeah. Same.
It's amazing. No, but I'm just saying.
I'm not like downing it or like banging on it.
No. You're just saying you don't do it.
Yeah.
It's fine. Okay. Let me ask you guys this.
I'm just saying, like, Instagram's like almost the same thing nowadays.
Instagram is similar for sure.
It's very similar
for sure.
Okay. So Ernesto, you said you're on it.
Yeah.
And you've used it before.
I'm using it like a couple minutes ago.
Okay, good. Good.
Just seeing my updates.
Are you Tulum location right now?
Yeah.
Have you ever hooked up with a girl off of these apps?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's straightforward.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm the type of guy that you know me already, and you know me. If I'm not looking for a relationship, it's very straightforward. I'm not looking for a relationship.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they make it very clear too. It's like you go to a profile. it tells you what the woman is looking for. A long-term relationship, a hookup, a one-night, whatever. So it's kind of like, dude, it's like, imagine like you could just filter through what you really want. And
So what are your filters?
I think there's no small talk.
It's so what are your filters? What's your first pick?
My first pick is, I think it's me in New York doing the, it's like a paparazzi pick of me in New York.
Oh, nice.
It's a heavy pick.
What's the most active app you're using right now?
In terms of dating apps?
Yeah.
Like Hinge, for sure.
So isn't Hinge like, don't you have to like say shit? Like
there's
like,
no, so Hinge actually, it's like.
It's like prompts, right?
There's prompts, right? So you
so
have
what's
like,
your prompt?
My prompt is like, okay, say what's one thing, what's one opinion of you that's controversial or something? And I put all my opinions.
Oh, right?
So you're getting into the straight political debates.
No, I'm just finding someone like-minded.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Right? And then there's another one like, oh, if I could describe myself in two words, it was espresso and podcasts. Nice. So we're getting straight to the point here.
These are good. You've thought
not
of,
bad.
You
eh?
Have experience on
he
these
does.
People are loving it, right?
Yeah, are you going to drop a course soon?
Oh, that's for sure. But again, even like if you're a single guy and you're traveling to a new city, it's a very easy way to meet new people.
Yeah.
I've done that before. I've turned on locations. Yeah. You get the...
Listen, bro, I'm not going
to... You get like the premium.
Yeah.
And you can turn on location ahead of time.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you can start matching before you get there.
Yes.
So when you get there, you got a bit of a roster.
Yeah.
You guys are smart, bro.
Dude, listen. It's not like this. Listen, I'm going to be completely honest. It's not an app that I go on every day.
Yeah.
Or I check every day. Maybe I'll check it. Like, I'll just see notification. But, oh, what's happening here? Let's mm-hmm. see who likes me. Mm-hmm. And then we take it from there. But like, it's nothing serious. It's more like... You know, guy. You know how we work, right?
Yeah.
Guys want satisfaction. Mm-hmm. They want some attention. So to just go like, sometimes if a girl like likes my page, that's already enough for me.
Yo, this is crazy.
I know what I mean? Yeah, it just sounds so hot.
No, I've had conversations like with some of my boys, or you guys, whatever, where it's like, if a girl like already... Like says like is down like that's already the
that's a body
that's already the body
yeah
like you don't even have to go and actually smash
yeah that's a fact
you already got the body because you're like bro okay which is like kind of fucking
that's demonic
okay for context let me break that down for
but
you
but also you have to be a very like high value man to be in that mindset because that means that you already had a lot of sex most likely
yeah hold on let me make that more clear for our audience what we're saying is there's high level high value men. What we're saying is there's high value men who as soon as the girl commits to like the chill session, like which is basically committing to fucking.
Damn.
That means you already got the like
there's
already
gonna be some people watching.
You already fucked, which is like fucked because it's like a mental thing. It's like, yeah, well, now that I know I could smash her, then
it's all good.
I don't even
here.
Care to do
we're
it anymore.
Here,
yeah. I don't even actually care to
but
do
again,
it.
But again, that might even lead into like what we were talking about before with the porn and the masturbating.
It does.
Yes,
that's,
yes.
So that's where I wanted to go with it.
Yeah.
Can that kind of connect the same way where we're like porn is fucking you up where like you have to start doing crazier shit to get turned on? Is that the same thing where it's like you've had so much sex and maybe like you've allowed like almost like your I don't know if like ego's the word but like your ego
it's
to take
not,
over
it's not
where you're
ego,
like
it's like
I don't know
like,
I think
it's your sex drive bro
it's priorities
like, yeah that too
okay
you know
it's oh you're trying to see it in a good way
no I mean like you don't right. like it's you just get to a certain point where like you just don't need to be smashing all the time like yeah. you don't it's not like not yeah, to say then, there's no yeah, reward but like you're also seeking more genuine connections too
yeah but hold on a second but if you're consistently having convos with girls leading them on in the sense of like yeah we're gonna do all this shit da, 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 da. And then she finally is like okay come over to my house next Saturday and then you fucking ghost her because in your head you got the kill now it's like oh were you doing all of that just for the validation of like yeah
no,
I could smash if
I
wanted
mean like
to.
I'm sure there's guys that do that but if you're already there you might as well just like follow through like
but
you're already putting all the energy
is,
in
but what he's saying is he's done it
I've done that
Ernesto's
before.
Saying
lie.
He's done
well,
it where
listen, we can't all sit here
was,
and say
was, but your
that.
But your intention was or when if, and like it finally gets to the chill sesh which is fucking energy you're not even down because like you have other priorities.
No, we didn't.
Or you went into from day one speaking to this girl, you're like, I'm going to lead her on all the way until I know I can smash and then just drop
it's
her?
It's not intentional. No, it's not intentional. It's definitely
is
not.
Is it more of a priority
yeah,
thing?
Hold on. It's not intentional, but you do it all the time. So it's like you're not going in with the idea of doing it, but you know what's going to happen. And bro, don't tell me none of those girls, you're like in your head, way far in the back, you're like, yeah, bro. As soon as she says, yeah, I'm done. You know this,
it's not,
bro.
Listen, guys, it's not intentional. That's all I can say. It's just not intentional. And yeah, you know, but you know, we live busy lives at the same time.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So sometimes, listen, and we're men too, so you know how we work. Sometimes like we're super down, and then like a couple days later, like things can change.
Yeah, exactly.
There's also like that honeymoon phase when you start talking to a new girl, mm-hmm. where it's like, oh, everyone's all excited. It's like the classic meme. It's like you're responding so fast back and forth for like 3 days.
Yeah.
And then it dies out. I think men do that. I also think women do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's both.
And then it becomes like a 24-hour thing.
Right? And then it's like, oh, okay, like what just happened? And then you're both just like gone.
Yeah.
But you know,
spark kind of dips.
It just depends, man. I think it just comes down to like what's going on in your life and your priorities.
Yeah.
You know, like some guys are literally all in on girls.
Yeah.
And messaging girls and trying to chill with girls and like multiple dates a week.
Yeah, yeah. I can't
come
do that
over
shit.
My house and no, come over your house like multiple. Like that's
listen,
right
I
there.
Think I think there's a.
That's like top of their priority list.
But I think that there's a phase for that too. Like if you ask me when I was like 22, I was like, oh, my full time job is just I want to talk to girls all day.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
but
that also tied into.
But
your
I don't
too.
Think you should be 30 years old and doing that.
No. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think it's.
I also think you attract more when you're not like that.
Yes.
Right? I agree. If you're very attached
that's bad energy to be doing that.
It's a terrible
lot.
Energy.
Like, you know, like
I think it's. I feel like I've heard more and more guys say that.
What?
The whole like, once the girl was down to fuck, in my head, I already hit it.
Again,
so I already
again,
got the reward.
Again, usually those are guys that have had a lot of sex, most likely.
Yeah, that's fair. If I think about the guys,
that think about it. That, think of, there you go. Yeah. Right, if you're gonna think about a guy that maybe you know has had sex a couple times in his life, there's no way he's doing that.
Uh huh.
Unless he's scared of the woman.
Yeah. No. I mean, I understand it.
Yeah.
I.
It's a sad world, and you know what? You know what plays into that actually is the whole world of social media.
Yes.
Because let's say you're talking to someone a couple days. Then all of a sudden you're on Instagram and then you see someone else that you're like, oh my God, I need to talk to this person. Mm-hmm. Your mind like automatically switches.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh no, I want to talk to this person now for 3 days straight and see what happens there.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
No, it's true. It's true.
Yeah, the attention span is it's not
right?
There.
Because,
yeah.
Because you have like the world
you have
in,
to be ready
in your
to
fingertips.
Like, yeah, you have to be ready to like give it that energy though.
Yeah.
Right?
You have to be ready to. Okay.
And also like you have to just like also have intentions. Like again, if I'm single... I don't really like see a problem with that at all. Like just trying something out and talking to a girl, seeing where it goes. If it doesn't go anywhere, whatever.
Yeah, you never know.
This is gonna be such a fucking controversial thing to say. But I don't give a fuck. Have you guys ever just sat there with your boys by yourself or whatever, and it's just like just been in your head like, bro, why are women so fucking stupid?
Yeah,
about?
I mean,
bro, don't say about, bro. It could be about anything. Have you never just sat there and been like, why are women so fucking
Here's the thing with that. Here's
stupid.
The thing I learned over time. And I used to think like that.
Yeah.
It's about the women that you're talking to as well.
Uh-huh.
Because now I've realized that there is women that I think are like, what is possibly going on in this person's head?
Uh-huh.
Like, how are you making these decisions? How are you thinking this way? But then there's also women that I've talked to where it's like, yeah, you got a good head on your shoulders. You got a good mindset. You probably have been raised right.
Mm-hmm.
You probably work on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So there is both. I think you need to surround yourself and attract the right people.
Yeah.
I honestly believe that. I know that mm-hmm. may sound cheesy or whatever, but it's really not.
Yep.
You know? And that's even like, not to get on the marketing tip, but it's also like in the content. To be honest,
damn.
Like if you're posting content where it's like, yeah, you're showing your day and you're showing you're going to the gym, you're showing that you're meditating, you're showing that you're reading, you're probably going to attract someone that's doing the same.
Yeah. Yep.
And someone that's in that space is definitely not stupid.
Yeah.
Right. But if you're showing, oh, I'm at the club, I got bottles, I'm at the thing, I got the limo, I'm smoking weed, I'm at the strip club. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What do you really think is going to happen?
Exactly.
Right. And that's something I had to learn over time
energy.
As well.
But okay, Matt, let me ask you though. What do you want in a woman? Would you prefer a woman who is a go-getter, wants a business, wants to hustle? Or would you look for a woman, or do you prefer a woman who is more of the stay-home caregiver style vibes?
I mean, I don't think that's like my primary focus, like one or the other. I think it's more so like if it definitely comes down to like a support thing. You know, if we vibe well, we're best friends and we can have our own lives, but also support each other and compliment each other. I think that's the most important. Whether that's her having her own life at home, maybe she loves chilling with the girls, doing whatever she likes to do, mm-hmm. raising the kids, mm-hmm. but supporting me and complimenting me, and I'll support whatever the hell she wants to do. Or she has her own shit, her own business, she's out there, she's doing her thing, and like not, and we're not like butting heads at all, mm-hmm. then that's it. Like yeah. it's literally that simple in my eyes.
You gotta have a preference, right? Like
I don't know, man. I'm open. Like
I don't know if I agree with that preference
thing. I don't know if I have a preference either. I don't know if I could just like if I met like the sickest girl ever and she has a business, and I'd be like, oh no, I'm not down because you're not gonna be at home.
Yeah.
You know, or I meet a girl, it's like at home, like, oh, like you're not ambitious.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not gonna like base it off that.
Yeah. Okay.
I do have a bit of a I don't think I would want to be with someone that is like as busy as me.
Yeah, for
sure. Okay, but again, I don't want to like cancel out my options. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I believe that if someone could come into your life and you know, look at the different maybe voids that you have in your life or areas in your life that you need more support, and they can plug themselves into that and you can do the same for them.
Yeah.
I think that's ideal for me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that That's the most important. Like he said, it's support, right? So yeah. if you're getting into a relationship with someone and it's like, okay, how can I support this person and how can they support me?
Yeah.
Then the rest can kind of fall into place. Now, can you support me if you're as busy as me? Most likely not. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm saying that, right? Yeah. But at the same time, you never really know. But
see, I'm the kind of guy that like, I like to be like complimented.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Of course. But that's what I mean.
That's your love language.
I like to be like, bro... Like, babe, like, you're fucking killing it, babe. Like,
hey, but it's like a verbal... Words of affirmation.
Words of affirmation.
I love that shit.
That's your love language.
Affirm the fuck
I'm a
out
touch
of me.
Guy.
I'm a touch guy. I'm a physical touch guy, too.
I'm a huge touch guy.
You better touch me. You know what I mean?
You better touch me next, too. But
then it comes down to your love languages, right?
Yeah.
Like, are you... Like, does she know your love language? It really... Like, there's a whole discovery phase.
Yeah.
And if she understands your love languages...
Yeah.
And she pours into that, and then vice versa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
So I have a...
Let
me tell a quick funny story here. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. Talking about love language, right? And this is funny.
You can go buy a girl gifts all day, but she won't give a fuck.
Yeah, yeah. There's girls that won't give a fuck, right? Yeah. And okay, so I was seeing this girl for a bit, right?
When? How long ago?
Fuck, bro. Come on. Don't do this to me, man.
last week?
No, not last week. But listen, I was seeing...
The week before.
Let's say within the last like year, okay?
I was seeing someone. Well done.
Nothing crazy. Mm-hmm. Couple weeks, whatever. And we went out for a coffee. And I'm a touch guy.
Yeah.
Like, I like to hold my woman. I like to, like, you know, hug her.
Yeah.
I want to hold her. I want to put my arm around her. That's just how I am. Mm-hmm. So we went for coffee and... And whatever, you know, we grabbed the coffee, mm-hmm. and then we were walking out, and I kind of like put my arm around her like this to lead her out.
Yeah.
And she goes like, "Don't do that."
Oh.
And I was like,
"Wait a minute, what?"
I was like, "Hold the fucking line."
To put her in front of you?
Yeah, to put her in front of me. Like, just I opened the door and I went like this, kind of lead her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she's like, "Yeah, like don't touch me in public."
Interesting.
And I was like,
"What?"
Well, I think that's pretty extreme.
That was extreme, right? Extreme, and I was like, that's who are you like? Are you like Angelina Jolie? I was like, so anyways, long story short,
boys and girls.
Understand?
Oh, yo, she fucked me up.
Anyway, after that, huge red flag, by the way, like huge, massive.
Huge.
Mm-hmm. And then after that day, it was pretty much like, okay, you know what?
Yeah.
But again, love language, right? And you could tell right away.
Did
so,
you ask her why though?
No, I never asked her why.
Interesting.
Because I didn't want to make it seem like I cared that much. But deep down,
that's a red flag too.
That was a red flag for me. But I knew it was finished anyway. So I was like, there's nothing really to talk about.
You didn't even care. You didn't even care to find out. Eh?
But I just thought that was insane. I was like, I wasn't making out with her.
A lot of girls would appreciate that.
100%.
You know, they want to be the ones through the door first.
And in my experience, like I've never had that happen to me before. So I was like really turned off.
You're walking on the street, right? With a chick. Uh-huh. What side are you on?
The left side.
You're supposed to be on the side of the street.
Of the street, of the cars.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I just.
See, for me.
Some girls really like
that
shit.
See, for me, like in private, touch me all over the place.
Yeah.
In public, I don't know, I'm not a huge touch
guy. No. There's public display of affection, like making out in public, or and, you know, even holding hands. I didn't want to hold no hands. I'm saying, dude, like literally leading a woman yeah. out of the door, bro.
No. I'm just now. I'm speaking like more broadly. Yeah. I'm not a huge holding hands guy.
No, neither am I.
I like honest. It.
You like it?
Yeah, I do. I don't mind PDA. Like I'll fucking.
No. Listen, a kiss here, there, whatever. It's cool. I don't know. For me, it's just I'm not like totally.
I love physical touch.
Depends. Okay, depends on like. It really depends.
No. Okay, but like. I agree. It does depend. I think for me, I'm speaking in my opinion. Like,
yeah.
If we're like dressed up, going like walking into a restaurant and stuff, like, yeah, hold my hand.
Yeah.
I'll lead you through the door. Like, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
If we're just like walking through like the mall, like shopping, like
you're not gonna like stand in the middle and start macking.
No. But even the holding hands, like I'm not big on like let's fucking.
Well, how long do you have to hold hands for? Like how long do you have to hold hands for?
Well, I think it's like you're either holding it all the way or not at all.
If you're in
like,
the mall for 3 hours, are you holding hands the whole time?
Bro, but there's shorties who want to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, fuck. Yeah.
You like holding hands,
man? I love holding hands.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're in the mall for 3 hours straight?
Yeah, I'm going to hold my chick's hand 100%. 100%.
But there's different ways to do it. There's even like the classic like...
Bro, I'm she's getting touched the whole time.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
But she has to like it too.
You know what I like?
Of course.
Yeah. I'm fucked. I like the hand... behind the neck.
Oh, that's because.
Oh yeah.
Because you're an alpha. Yeah. I like
the hand behind
yeah,
the
yeah,
neck.
Yeah. Hand behind the neck is nice. Yeah, hand behind the neck is nice. Yeah. Hand behind the neck is nice.
Matt, see, do you like that?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's interesting. Yeah. Hold my hand? Mean, I don't know. But for me, I'm very much like, tell me I'm doing a good job.
Yeah. Words of affirmation.
Even, bro. And the thing is,
you want me to just list out the five the languages for everyone?
Get them ready. But
okay.
For me, like. Like, if people might hear this and be like, oh, it's because you're insecure. It's like, no, dude, like, trust me, I know if I'm not doing a good job, I know. And if I'm doing a good job, I also know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But, like, it's different when it comes from the person who you're doing all the things for.
100%.
So, if you're trying so hard for this person in so many different ways, providing them this, loving them, doing all that stuff, it's just nice when they say it. And even if you know they're thinking it in their head, it's just different when it comes out in words. You're like, fuck, yeah. Like, that's legit, you know?
So the five love languages, uh-huh. Words of affirmation,
yeah,
acts of service.
So that's buying gifts and shit?
No. That's like... There's receive gifts okay. is separate.
So that's like, I'll make your bed?
Yeah. Okay. The little things, you know? Bring her a coffee in the morning, things like that. Quality time is big for a lot of girls.
Mm-hmm. True.
Especially entrepreneur guys like us. Who are consistently like glued into your phone.
That's all they want.
Yeah. That's all they want. Bro, they just want, put like dedicate, like put in the calendar, dedicate like an hour to me. Let's watch a movie. Fuck what you're doing.
Yeah.
I need the quality time. Very important for some people. And a physical touch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like them
I'm a big touch guy, to be honest.
I like the touch.
And I like acts of service.
I like doing acts of service.
Me too.
I like acts of service too. But I like doing it.
Me too.
I need to receive.
I'm a guy where it's like, I'll just do something. Like, what, you need me to come pick you up or something?
Yeah,
like,
I love that shit. Like that, I love that shit.
I fuck with that.
Yeah.
The pick me up vibes.
Yeah.
Okay, listen.
The pick me up vibes. By the way, that experience I had humbled me to shreds.
Yeah, fuck you up nice.
You want to talk about grounded me? Oh my goodness.
I kind of want to move it into a little bit of a different direction. I want to kind of talk about just like, we'll go this way. I watched this thing where this guy talks about like really three important parts about a relationship.
Yeah.
And he goes, the first thing is you need to be deeply in love with the person.
Yes.
That obviously makes sense. You're dating them or you're going to be with them or whatever, you're with them. You need to be deeply in love with every aspect of about them, right? The second thing is you need to be in love with the way that they show love.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you can love the person, but if the way that they show love is not something that you're particularly into, I think eventually it's going to fall apart because you're going to wonder why, like, or you're going to start feeling like, oh, they don't love me. They don't love me. Meanwhile, you just don't understand or aren't into the way that they show love. They reciprocate love. Big time. Love.
Huge.
Yes.
And
huge disconnect.
And the third one, which I think is so fucking important, is you need to be in love with the future that they want to create for themselves.
Of course.
But that is the one of all three of those things that I think falls through the cracks most often.
Yes.
And I think eventually fucks up a lot of relationships.
Of course, because you need to grow, and adapt together. A lot of relationships that don't work, it's because one person is growing and adapting and maybe the other person stayed the same.
Well, you can grow apart.
No, but deeper than that. you need to love the vision of what they're looking for.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
for example, again, like a lot of people have this conversation. Oh, I want, let's use, this is a great example. Oh, I want children by this age.
Yes.
One party says that.
Yeah.
The other party doesn't agree.
Yes.
Oh, I want them later. Yeah. Or I want them earlier. Whatever the case may be. That's huge. And I think a lot of people start thinking like, oh, you know, we can work around that. We can figure it out when it comes. And that's the one thing that I think more in relationships that I don't want to say drag on, but go on for longer periods of times. I think when people don't face those questions earlier, it ends up making relationships harder later on. Because again, we're not talking about, hey, bro, I want to buy this car by the time I'm 30 or 35, whatever. We're talking about, oh, I want children, or I want to be married by this age. I want to have children. I want to move to this place. I want to leave the country. Yeah. We're talking about big decisions, right? And that's where it gets tough, because I get everyone's like, oh, the compromise thing, right? But when we're talking about compromising on children, we're talking about compromising on moving to other countries. We're talking about compromising on marriage. Those are tough things to compromise on.
Yeah.
Right? And part of me says, yeah, you could find compromise. But another part of me says, yo, there's certain things you don't compromise on. And I'll use those three examples as things that you probably shouldn't compromise
on. Yeah. So I saw a reel not too long ago. And the guy says, marry your partner first, then date. So it's like, have all these hard conversations first. So
yeah.
Kids, your timelines, what you want your life to look like.
Yeah.
Everything, like what kind of house are we living in? Where are we moving? Like all these things first, get that out of the way. Because,
even if it's like hypothetical.
Because you are like, you have a right to your beliefs and what you want. The last thing I want to do is date for years and years and years. And then come time for marriage, a lot of these hard conversations start happening. Now you're already in with the family and all these things. And it's so hard to like detach. And now you might very well be leading like a miserable life.
Settling down,
yeah. Not actually doing what you want to do as a person. And yes. we're all able to be selfish enough and have what we want.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to have those conversations up front. Like literally marry your person first, have the hard conversations. Well, because then if you need to go your separate ways, you go your separate ways.
And I think it's like a business at the end of the day.
Yeah. It's like PBD.
You sit down, you're setting goals for yourself. You're setting milestones. You're setting timelines. At the end of the day, how many goals have we set? It's good to have that goal, but how many times has it changed on the way?
Yeah.
Because the journey changed it, right? But
that's why those conversations have to happen continuously.
Maybe there's still, exactly, because you are going to consistently be changing. And maybe there's a level of compromise for some people too.
Yeah.
Like you might be setting your ways for one thing, but you love this person so much and you can see like everything else, all the other boxes are checked. And it's like just that one box, like, you know what? It's not worth it. Like I'm going to compromise on this box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think marriage, children, and like living situation is three boxes that it's fucking almost impossible to compromise.
Those are major boxes for sure. Because I'm talking about other little things.
Yeah.
And by compromise, you mean like agree on with her?
Well, no, for example, like bending your rules a bit.
Let's make an example. Yeah. Let's say you have a girlfriend, okay?
Yes.
And let's say she's like, yo, Ernesto, by 33, that's the latest I want to have a child.
Yeah. It's good to know. It might not happen though.
But
it's
I'm
good
saying,
to have in my head.
But I'm saying, right? What, and to Matt's point is like,
oh,
she checks every other box, but that's the one box she doesn't check. What I'm saying is that's a tough box. If for you, it's an example, you're like, bro, I'm okay for 40 to have a child. If that's one box that becomes very hard to compromise on, bro.
Of course.
Because it's not just, buy a new car, buy a ring.
Even buy a house, really, to be honest. Like, it's not even as big as that.
It's like, bro, you're bringing a fucking, like a human into this earth.
Yeah.
So like, is that something that men or women should be compromising on?
It depends on them.
Yeah, it's
if
tough.
They want to do it, you know. Like,
I mean, I feel like you should. I mean, listen. Every year you're developing as a human. I feel like it depends on where you're at in your life too.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right. Like I'm 31.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last year I was thinking different.
Exactly.
Than I am now.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
why I think those. I think those conversations, have to consistently happen. Like I think you need to.
But you have to remember something too. Is like. This is why I brought up adapting and growing, because you could be growing, you could be working on yourself and realize that, hey, you know what? Maybe I thought that was what I wanted at that time. Mm-hmm. That timeline was cool with me last year. But now that I've grown, I'm looking at timelines differently now. Mm-hmm. If that other person, your partner, is not growing as well, then they're going to be thinking the same way they did 2 years ago, for example.
Yeah, but I don't think that necessarily always has to do with growth. I think that...
Well, it's also about like... Yeah, well, I think so because well, you're no, supposed to be growing with your partner.
No, but for example, like I think children is a perfect example. Like if somebody
You can't force
says,
anyone to do that.
Yeah, if somebody says, bro...
No, you can't. But also like just know that you're in a relationship with someone. Okay, you're very big into self-growth. Very big. You want a partner that's not into it?
100% I do.
There you go.
Yeah, but that's a prerequisite.
No,
though.
But we're talking about children. Okay, let's say I'm 25, my girl's 25.
Of course.
We're like, yeah, 30 is definitely an age. We both agreed that's the age to have children.
100%.
Now I'm 28 and I'm like, you know what? I have other things. My idea has changed.
Why though? Because you've grown.
No, but it doesn't be. But that doesn't necessarily mean from growth. I could just my opinion could change. I want different things. I don't think that has to necessarily do with growth.
So why do you? It's like, let me tell you something. Why do you want different things?
Because I'm doing different things. But that doesn't always mean growth.
And when you're
my job has changed.
And then you're doing different things. What's happening? You're learning when you're doing different things. You're growing when you're doing different things. So if the person beside you is not on the same path, of course. If you agreed to something, let's say 5 years ago.
But what if that person's growing in their own way?
Well, that's probably like, they might be, but then they should be able to see what you see.
But I think children doesn't fall in that category. I think children is just like a timeline thing.
Yeah.
And your mind can change just based on external factors, internal factors, so many different things. I don't think that has to do with growth. I think that's just maybe your paths are,
of course.
Are not aligned anymore.
Well, okay, let me tell you something. I used to be like, oh, I don't want kids. Mm-hmm. You heard me say that.
Yeah, I heard you say that.
And now I say I want kids.
Sure.
Because I've grown and I've seen things and I've learned and I've compared my life to others and I see what other people are doing. And then I actually had a realization where it's like, no, I actually want beautiful children because I wanna give everything that I'm working for to someone.
So yes, wanting and not wanting kids is one thing.
Yeah.
The timeline of wanting the kids is a different thing.
Yes.
Because I don't think that has to do with growth or no growth. People just have opinions and have ideas and their wants.
Especially for the women.
Yeah, 100%.
So
like for us, we can chill.
Oh, that's
girls
for
can't.
Sure. That's why I'm chilling.
They're on a clock.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
But it's a tough one because everyone's so different.
Yeah.
Every human being so different. For someone to like, let's say, have a timeline and they want to stick to that timeline, I respect it completely,
mm-hmm.
right? Because, yeah, we have our own timelines. Men have their own timelines too, where we say, hey, we want this by this. We do it in business all the time.
All the time,
right? I think women apply it more to the nature of life,
mm-hmm.
where they're like, I want to have kids by this age, and we're kind of like, I want to be a millionaire by this age.
Yeah,
you know. So it's the same mindset. It's just on two different things, right? So. Yeah, I think everyone's their own person. That's a very hard thing to compromise on, though.
That's the point I want to make.
Very hard, very hard.
There's compromising on like, oh, I want more, like every Sunday you got to give me your time. Don't work that. Those are all things that are fucking easy to compromise on.
Yes.
But I think, like I said, I think marriage and I think children, those two things are fucking tough things to compromise on. I haven't decided yet. I'm still formulating my opinion for sure. And it might change, but I'm still formulating my opinion on if I think those are things that you can or should compromise on.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, so I want to segue that now into the marriage conversation, okay? Obviously, it's a huge conversation to have. I think just whether you're male, female, whatever. Whatever the fuck you do, whoever the fuck you are, it's a huge conversation. And the reason like I want to bring it up is because I'm torn on it. Because I see it in two ways. I see it in, and I understand that I think a lot of, this is the way a lot of women see it. It's like the ultimate commitment. And it's like, if you really love this person, like this is the next step. It's how you take the next step. You show them that like you're ready to take the next step.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, I think the idea is that like marriage is kind of you putting a stamp on it where you're like, I will now commit forever to keep fighting for this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not that we have a bad month, a bad fucking 6 months and then I walk away. When you say I do, you're committing to forever trying no matter how hard it gets, right? Yes, that is kind of the idea of marriage that I understand at least.
I agree.
And I totally understand it, right? I totally get the whole like next step, blah, blah, blah. But I think the biggest key of it is like the key to marriage is like that you're committing to try forever,
mm-hmm.
right? I think that is like the big piece of it. Now, I understand the value in that. But I've been thinking about it in my head recently, and I'm like, but could that not be seen as a negative? And now hear me out. What happens, like sometimes in life, I think we need to accept that things just aren't good for us anymore. Mm-hmm. Because we grow, right? And sometimes people grow apart. Business partners grow apart.
Yep.
Employees grow apart from the business they're working for. Relationships, you grow apart. Best friends, you grow apart.
Yep.
Husband and wife, sometimes you may grow apart, right? And so I try to think like, okay, is that a weak way to see it? Like, oh, no, fuck marriage because if you grow apart, you should be able to leave. Like, is that like a always leaving a plan B? And does that make it like, oh, like,
you're always that's, a way that's out.
A, it's always a way out.
Mm-hmm.
Or on the flip side, are you seeing marriage in the like never giving up light, but that could be to your detriment because you're like, doesn't matter how bad it may get one day, I still love this person. I'm going to keep trying. Like, do you see where I'm coming from? I see both sides, like, keep fighting no matter what. That's true love. But then on the other side of it, I see like, well, sometimes if it's just not it, sometimes you have to learn to walk away.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough one.
You know?
I think when they I have it here actually. So divorce was like, divorce became a thing in 1857.
Okay.
Okay. I think when that happened, it gave everyone a way out.
Yeah.
You know, understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So I think people will always have a way. Listen, I don't see it as like, oh, that's a weak way to think. You know me, I'm a realist, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I just look at things for what they are.
Sure.
So yeah, I think people grow apart. I think that's affected my view on it, right? I think when I look around in this world today and I just see everyone getting divorced, I'm a realist. I'm not going to go around and be like, oh, listen, 70% of people are getting divorced, but I'm going to make it work. Uh-huh. No, I'm a math guy. I'm a numbers guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be like, okay, well, what are my chances?
Yeah.
Right? So I agree that people grow apart. I think nowadays it's harder than ever to commit to someone for a lifelong time.
Yeah.
And people can look at that as an excuse. People can say, oh, well, you're just saying things because you don't want to get married. But dude, I'll be the first one to say, if I want to get married, I want to get married.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough one, dude. I've been thinking about it a lot too. And I don't know if I'm that down.
Matt, what's your thoughts?
Well, I just think like, in general, relationships are a lot of work, you know?
Yes.
So obviously picking the right partner who's willing to do the work with you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, it's not like we're married now, we can both like fuck off and like you do your thing, I do my thing, and then
that's when the work starts.
Let's reconvene when we hate each other.
Yeah.
And then now let's try and do shit, but we're going up a huge slippery hill. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, we're in this together. Let's work through this together. Let's be completely open and honest with each other about like where we're at and motor through this. Yeah. You know what I mean? If I mean like, hey, there's people where you might absolutely be in love with them, but you know, even with like doing that work consistently, you might both realize like, hey, this might not be working out.
Yeah.
And you got to do what's best for the both of you, you know?
Yeah.
But like the key thing is where people fail is you get comfortable. You hold shit in. You don't communicate to your partner. You let shit just fester and build up. Some people live like that till they die, but they fucking can't stand each other.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, the resentment builds up. It's all these like negative. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But I think it's crucial. Like, you know, why go see a therapist or go talk to someone only when you're having issues?
Mm-hmm.
Why not make that a part of the monthly schedule?
True.
You go see someone, open conversation. Hey, where are we at? This really bothered me. You know, it's a safe space.
Yeah.
You know, but that might lead to you both being comfortable to have that conversation yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, like literally throw it in the fucking calendar. Where are we at this week?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. See, I
also think you can fall out of love as well. Yeah.
But I think those negative things and not doing the work together can really press the fast forward button on that.
Yeah.
But if you're doing the work together, I think you can really build a deeper, solid.
You're looking at it from a very mature way. You know, you like.
Yeah, but I think that's like
that's
a very important way to look at it.
Oh, that is the way to look at it, right? And I think a lot of people, they don't look at it that way because there's all this pressure in life, in society, where how many people do we know that they they get married because their friends are getting married. Mm-hmm. How many people we know they get married because their parents are saying, why aren't you married?
Yeah.
To me, that's the worst thing to get involved with, right? Yeah. Yeah, you have to really know the person, because there's been times where I'm just like, oh, this person right here, I could see myself marrying them. Yeah, wait 6 months.
Yeah, talk to me in 6 months.
Like, there's no need to rush, right? And that's something I want to say is, like, whoever's out there, like, and they feel rushed into it, don't rush into anything. Take your time, because that's your lifelong partner. Like, if it's like, oh, like, I got to get married in 6 months from now, like, don't do that. Like, just think, chill a bit. Yeah,
you lose your power.
You got to get to know the person,
too. You get anxious. You start operating from, like, you know, negative energies.
Yeah, and
you're operating out of anxiety and fear and all these things. That's not the right way to do it.
They're you know, they're engaged, or you know, they're about to get married or whatever, and you can tell, you can see it in the person's face where it's like, do I even want to do this and stuff? And I get the whole butterflies before marriage where you're like tripping out. I get that. I've never felt it, obviously, but I understand it. Mm-hmm. But like, a lot of people are just rushing into things because they're trying to please other people.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, because right after that wedding, no one cares about you.
Yeah, facts.
No one cares anymore.
That right there is a huge fact.
Once that event is over and everyone goes home, the next day, you have no more pressure. No one cares.
They don't give a shit.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So everyone you were trying to please, congratulations, you pleased them for that one day. And now it's your problem now.
The societal norms, the cultural thing, I don't agree with. It's a relationship between you and your partner, and that's it.
Exactly.
Don't let the mothers come in. Don't let the uncles come in. Don't let the friends come in.
Like, you know what I'll say about that too? Even like mothers and fathers or whatever, right? Like, they do that because they're just looking out for you. They don't want you to be alone in life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, no one knows yourself. No one knows what's happening in here. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know what's best for yourself. If you're feeling a certain way, I wouldn't say rush into anything, but if you actually know and you put in the work, like Matt said, and you're like, this is the person for me, go ahead, get married. It's a beautiful thing. I'm sure it is.
I actually want to basically take that and say, okay, because you said, you know, up here, okay?
Yeah.
And I think up here is a very interesting place. Mm-hmm. And I think up here is a very interesting place more recently for men. Guys, if you're listening to this, when I'm saying up here, I'm talking about in our fucking heads. Okay?
Yep, brains, brain power.
I want to segue into this. I don't think we've ever had this conversation, but it's something that has been affecting me personally a lot over the last couple months. I found myself in a really weird place. I actually cried for the first time in a long time.
True.
Probably a month and a half ago.
Crying's good, bro.
But like hysterically.
Yeah, that's good.
Like, not like screaming, but just like tears.
In a pillow.
Like just in my palms. I was crying in my palms, palms of my hands. And I was having a conversation and I said, I'm gonna say what I said, and then I'll give you guys context on how I got here. I was like crying and like just do like tears. And I felt like it was like years of shit that was finally coming out.
We're purging. Yeah.
And the words that came out of my mouth were, when is it time for me to be happy?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think when you're crying and you're in that state, like, you don't make shit up. Like, the whatever's coming out of you in that moment is like real, bro. Yeah. And you have no control over it in a way, and it's just coming. And so I'm crying. And the only thing I could think to say was, like, when is it time for me to be happy? And I want to give context to that now. I was, the last few months has been weird for me. I had like, I started getting like chest pains, like over like my left chest, like my heart area. And I think it was from a few things. I think it was like, I like hurt myself working out partially. But I think it was like kind of a blessing and a curse, because then I started to get really anxious about this, and I thought I was having like heart problems, started seeing doctors and stuff for it. Everything came back and I was good heart wise. But at the same time, I was dealing with like so much shit, like family shit, personal shit, relationship shit, like just so much stuff, like even inner stuff. And bro, it just started all hitting me at once, like problems like with my family, like, you know, business stuff is on me, like. And I think all this pressure that I had mounting on me was finally starting to like get to me. Mm-hmm. and I had maybe like 10 years worth of pressure. I think I said this on another podcast where I was like, you know, the pressure that a man who is at the top of a family, or is who leads a family, or who leads a business, or who leads even a friend group, for example, is like pressure that's so hard to understand unless you're in that position. Mm-hmm. Like for me, I'm the kind of guy, bro, where like any of my family, any of my friends, they always come to me with their problems. And I like take their problems and I like take it personally to the point where like I feel like I gotta fix their issues for them.
Yeah.
Not even just tell them like, yo, try doing this, this and that. Mm-hmm. Like I leave the conversation and I'm like, okay, how am I gonna fix this person's issue? Yeah. Like one of my really good friends came to me and was like, yo, I had a really like bad like year money wise, like blah, blah, blah. And I leave the hangout session, and on my drive home, I'm like, okay, how do I hire this guy? Mm-hmm. Like that is like how serious I take other people's issues. And as much as I realize that's a good trait, like you want to help people, I also realize, fuck, you got to have boundaries, because when you start taking everyone's issues and making them your own, bro, like there's only so much you can handle as a human on top of being at the top of a family, at the top of a business, at the top of a friend group, all these things, at leading a relationship, blah, 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 all these things. Mm. So anyways, it got to a point where, dude, I just didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to be around people. And I'm like, why? Like I'm such an outgoing guy. It's the last thing that like makes sense for me. And then I just start breaking down, start crying. And I'm like, yo, when is it time for me to be happy? You know, when is the time to do that?
Were you alone?
No, I wasn't alone.
Okay.
And that's a bigger point, actually. Thank you for asking that. Because what I realized was, for me, this is how it worked for me, was I had to let it out to somebody else. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because you can say it to yourself, but I feel like until you have another person to bounce these ideas off of, it doesn't make them as real. I don't know. That was what it was for me, which is why I think maybe therapy is so important, or being able to have a friend or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or somebody that you're comfortable with like saying like the deepest shit to, because then it's like it feels like somebody's internalizing it, like somebody's hearing you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
And so that's what it was for me. And I didn't go into this conversation with this person to be like, oh, I'm ready to cry. I just needed to let it out, and it just led to me crying. And I think what that did for me was realize like, yo, I understand why some men turn to suicide, bro. Straight up.
Yeah.
As fucking deep as that sounds, like I'm a strong-minded guy. I value just life way too much, but I could understand how men who feel like they have nobody to talk to might one day say to themselves like, yo, it would be easier to not be here than be 100%. Here. 100%. You know, it'd be easier to not exist than to exist. And that shit was deep for me, bro, for real. Like that really opened my eyes, because on this fucking podcast, maybe 30 episodes ago, I talked about suicide being a fucking weak way out. And I still agree with that statement to a certain extent. I think it is a weak way out, but it gave me a better understanding as to why some men may turn there when they have nobody.
Yep.
You know, and we got emotions, bro. Even the most alpha of fucking men still feel shit, bro. As much as we try to hide it sometimes and like put it behind us and just say, we'll deal with it when we get there. We'll deal with it later. Like, bro, when you say that so many times, eventually, bro, the weight on your shoulders is just too heavy.
Yep.
Straight up. And with that being said, I want to ask you guys.
Yep.
Like, are you guys good? Are you guys dealing with shit now? Have you found yourself in a place like that, similar to my experience, where just the weight of the world and your responsibilities and the people that rely on you felt so heavy that you almost just broke down in front of somebody on your own?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I think men, we have demons, bro.
Uh-huh. We do.
Men have demons, and you got to
take over this chat soon.
You got to be able to, deal with those demons. And I feel like if you're not in a position where you can deal with them, yeah, suicide seems like a pretty viable option, right? Mm-hmm. Do I think it's weak to commit suicide? I know we said that before in the past. Yes, because of the people around you that depend on you. But at the same time, the people around you that depend on you should be able to see something or talk to you or say something as well, right? I think it's just assumed that most men are just strong enough to get through it, mm-hmm. right? You look at the people around you, they're just going to be like, oh, Ernesto? Oh, never mind. He's good. Oh, Matt? Would never, bro. He's fucking strong as hell.
Yeah.
But what have you noticed about people that have committed suicide? They're usually the happiest people.
Yeah.
In front of people.
Yeah, they make you think it, yeah.
They're laughing, they're smiling, they're always good energy, right? Every time someone commits suicide, people say the same thing. I'm so surprised.
Yeah.
I'm so shocked. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Right? Because guys put up that wall. They put up that front. Mm-hmm. Right? So I do agree that you should talk to someone if you're feeling that way. Have I felt that way? Yeah, many times. Because there's high pressure around us. There's people that depend on us. And we're those type of guys where we don't like to let people down. Mm-hmm. Right, so the minute you feel like you're letting people down around you,
yeah,
that's the do or die moment.
That right there is a tough thing because we own the same business together,
yeah,
and we take care of a lot of people. I completely understand that. I think that for me is the biggest thing, and that's the part where I'm like, so many people rely on me. So many people rely on me showing up every fucking day mm-hmm. that like their livelihoods and the food on their plates and their tables
it's selfish at that point.
Rely on how hard I go. And when you feel like as an alpha, when you feel like you're letting people down, that's where it fucks you in like mentally the most.
Well, that's the worst. That's like one of the worst feelings you can have when you're in that position. Mm-hmm. You got to that position because you haven't let people down.
Yeah, but
you did the opposite.
But then you're letting yourself down.
100%.
Ultimately. Yes.
100%.
So the body's going to speak to you.
Yeah.
And the fact you haven't cried in 10 years, cry more, man. Straight up.
For sure.
And there's the importance of brotherhood is crazy important.
Yes.
For guys that are where we're at,
yeah.
Like that's why I really value the stuff Zark puts together. Mm-hmm. That's why I tell you guys to come. As an example, for context, Zark's one of our life coaches. Because he'll put together a container, like a room,
yeah.
of super high-functioning men
yep.
who are all on the same path. And guess what, bro? We're having the most vulnerable conversations.
Yeah.
You know, some will cry, but you gotta let that shit out. And it's yep. in a room of it's not like you're, you know, bro, you're a pussy. You're like us hanging out, it's good. We're all laughs and shit like that. But to be put in a room with intention
yeah.
and other men around you, and like literally you're there to just like have this sort of vulnerability on a pretty like pattern consistent basis, it's healthy because now you're giving back to yourself.
Yeah.
Now you're getting support from other guys. The guy across from you is having the exact same fucking problems.
Yep.
And so was that guy.
Yep.
You know, like the other day, Nick sent me a text, Regina.
Shout out Nicky Regis.
At like 6 a.m. He's like, bro, I just want to let you know I fucking love you.
Yeah.
Right? You need to get that sometimes.
True.
And man, I love you back. You know, because you got to fucking say that to your boy sometimes.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know? But
love
we,
you guys, bro.
I love you guys too.
Fucking love you.
But we take on a lot of this workload and stress, and like I see you guys working there like fucking dogs. Not you're not dogs, but like you're mm-hmm. like
yeah.
Well, you're working ass off, right? You're working ass off. The day I did yesterday, bro, I just took it. I just like went to the ocean, just like I recharged. Mm-hmm. And you need that sometimes.
Yeah.
And the people around you will understand that because
you and him are bad at that, bro.
Yeah.
Straight up.
And yeah. I think we should have a day like that.
We just dial the fuck in.
Yeah.
And I'll speak for myself, but I have a feeling it's the same as him. When we dial in, it's literally not even for ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's
we dial
that's the
in
thing. For
everybody
for the team.
Because bro, and this is fucked. Like when I think about, bro, why do I wanna get rich and why do I wanna build this big company and make these millions? I'm like, bro, I wanna do it so that everyone around me can experience life at a level that they would have never imagined.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't even care, bro, about me in the PJ and in this beautiful house. Like, yeah, of course, that's a part of it. But for me, it's more like, yo, is my family going to be good?
Mm-hmm.
Can I give the, you know, can I show my mom things she would have never believed in her life she would see? Can I give my sister, my girl, my fucking nonna while she's still, like, you know? And then it becomes like, oh my God, there's a race against time.
Yep.
Because I'm like, my mom's getting older. My nonna's getting older. I'm like, bro, I want to put my nonna on a fucking PJ. Like, how sick
for
sure, would that
be? You know, sure.
And so when I'm dialed the fuck in,
yeah.
it's not even for myself.
And okay, fair.
Yeah.
Because I'm like that too.
Yep.
And like, for, as an example, in real estate, And my coach trains me a lot on this shit, okay? For real estate, it's like, where's my next deal coming from? Why is my phone not ringing?
Yeah.
Why are these houses not selling? Like, I need to fucking make a deal happen. I'm getting attached to it. I'm attached to it. Like, I need a result now.
Yep.
Yeah. Right? So by dialing in, you're, even though you may not be getting results now, you know that at least I'm dialing in. If I wasn't dialing in, I wouldn't be getting results. But at least I'm dialing in. I'm attached to all these thoughts. Mm-hmm. For me, it's retiring my parents. For me, it's having stupid financial freedom where I could just do whatever I want. But the reality is, because you're very, very much attached to that, you're actually living in a little bit of lack.
Yeah, I agree
with that. Because you're attaching the outcome and your happiness to that. Therefore, you need to work to get that happiness. But the key is, and it's important, not all the time, just to fucking fuck off for a day and just relax and just become non-attached.
Yeah.
And by doing that, and I've experienced that this year.
Me and this guy do not.
But bro, I've experienced that this year heavily because it sounds backwards, right?
Yeah.
Need nothing, have everything. That's the saying I learned this year.
Cool, I like that.
Right. Sure. So need nothing, you have everything. Mm-hmm. If you need everything, you want everything, you want it all, you may very well have nothing because you're so attached to it that you actually repel shit.
True.
This might sound woo-woo.
No, I know what you're saying.
But if you, like, for example, my coach, he's like, you know, throughout the day, just take 5 minutes and do nothing.
Yeah.
And just sit there and, like, recharge. And, like, a lot of the Joe Dispenza work, too, is, you know, you bring in the emotions of, like, that future you. Now, think about that day that you bring your nana on that PJ, how are you feeling? What are the feelings going through your body? Taking the day,
I'm gonna be vibrating, bro.
Yeah, that's taking the day. You know, you retire your both your parents, and like you hand them a check. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling? You're not feeling the way you're feeling right now, which is you're stressed out.
No,
you're
not.
Worried. You're scared that you're not gonna get there. You're feeling the complete opposite. Yeah. So if you can consistently go about your day, in that those emotional elevated states, you're gonna attract the same shit.
Yeah.
With a lot more or less effort.
Yeah.
And that's the key. Mm-hmm. So by just taking a day where it's like, hey, squad, I'm doing a recharge day. I promise you I'm going to come back a way better fucking leader tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I need this for me. Mm-hmm. They're a fantastic. You guys got a fantastic team. They're going to understand that.
Yeah.
They're going to get it. Yeah. Someone else carry the weight for literally, you know, 8 to 12 hours.
Yeah.
But I need to do this for me. Because then you're going to build up, consistently build up. Your body's going to tell you like, yo, stop. Yeah. You're going to start feeling pains in areas. And then that release is all that shit. Because if you continue on that path, that can lead to health problems straight up.
No, dude, I
stress
I,
is the number one killer. Bud.
Straight up. It
yeah,
is.
It is.
So let me ask you this, Ernesto.
Yeah.
Why do you think you and I go so hard to the point where we don't take those days?
Yeah.
I think
as of late, like, I mean, the thing is here, like, I would say in the last 6 months, there has been times where I've messaged you and I'm like, yo, I'm not doing anything today.
Uh-huh.
I can't do this right now.
Yeah.
Like, I've done that.
Yeah.
I was way worse before.
Uh-huh.
Like, I would wake up at 4 a.m., I would go to the office, and I would work for 18 hours and drink 10 coffees. But straight up, bro, meditation saved my life. Because if I didn't start meditating, and this was probably like 3-4 years ago, bro, I wouldn't have lasted.
Yeah.
I straight up. So going back to him doing nothing, I learned how important that was. Now, we work very hard. You know what I mean? We're the type of guys that if we want to do something, it's got to happen now. It's got to happen the best. It's got to be the best quality. It's got to happen fast.
Yeah.
And everyone's got to know about it.
Yeah.
Right? So think about all those things combined. So it's a lot of pressure, bro. And I think that we work that hard because, yeah, bro, we've always worked that hard. We always goal set and we have dreams, right? And
but he's like, asking why?
Why? Because there's a time limit on life.
But it's deeper than that too.
I would say in my honest opinion, that it's just life is a ticking clock. That's how I look at it. And every time I go see my mom or I go see my grandfather or I even see my sister, I'm like, oh my God, everyone's getting older.
Yeah.
And I got to go fast. Mm-hmm. Now, I agree with what Matt's saying because you also have to stop and do nothing and be present or else you're going through life not even enjoying it and not even enjoying the fruits that are around you, the people around you, right? It's just very hard to accept.
It's the opposite. It's like you want to do these things for these people, but you could be spending the quality time with them now.
Yes.
But you're attached to this.
It's a dream.
End goal.
It's a dream.
anything can happen between now and
it's
then
this
too.
What, this is what it is. You think you can hang out with them now, let's say. But you're like,
but you're not present when you are.
100%.
I suffer from that too.
Yeah, yeah. 100%.
I'm no fucking.
I look at it. I look at it like, oh shit. Like, yeah, I can go spend time with people now, but I can spend a better time if I had shit like this, right? Which is not the right way to think at all. I'm just telling you what happens in my head.
Yeah.
It's like my mushroom experience. I explained to you guys.
Yeah.
Remember what came out of that?
Yeah.
It's like I just, you know, I was just shown what true consciousness happiness is.
Yeah.
And that's literally just nothing, like not attached to anything.
Yeah.
You know, and the most important thing was my grandparents.
Yeah.
At the time.
Well, that's a huge motivator.
Yeah.
When I said I had the breakdown moment and then I started really saying like, okay, how do I fix this? Like how do I fix this? Right. I had a conversation with one of my best friends and a guy who knows me in and out, my guy Lou, fucking love him. He's literally my blood brother. And he's like, dude, if I know anything about you, he's like, you have to like look at all the things that are bothering you in your life and then attack them one by one. So the issue you're having with your dad, talk to him about it. Then resolve it. The one you're having with your mom, resolve it. The one you're having here, resolve it. Like go one by one. Cause when you have all these issues around you, that's when you're getting overwhelmed. He goes, but if I know anything about you, you're good at planning. He's like, plan your approach, then take things on one by one. So that's what I did. I started having tough conversations with the people I love about the things that were bothering me between me and them, like our relationship.
And props for doing that.
Thanks. Yeah, it was not tough. Easy. Listen, bro, that was one of the toughest, I swear to God, one of the toughest things I had to do. Mm-hmm. And so there was something between my mom that me and, like, you know, just our relationship and something that was going on that was really bothering me. And so I go to her house, whatever. We have a really, like, maybe like 2-hour conversation. She's crying. I shed a few tears, whatever. And in that conversation, based on what we were talking about, I learned something about myself and why I'm going so hard. Because, you know, when I asked Ernesto why,
yeah.
So yeah, like I mentioned, I have a few whys. My why is because I want to give to my family. I want to give to the people I love, and I want them to experience a life that they couldn't even dream. Like they wouldn't even imagine that they'd be living this life. That was always been one reason. But I always kind of knew like there's something else, but I can't figure it out. Like what is my why? Like beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is pretty deep, man. I had this realization that, you know, my dad, Ernesto.
Yeah.
My dad is like, he would cut off his arms for a stranger.
Yeah.
Like he's the kind of guy who would like do anything for everybody. Like the most loving, giving guy. Like he just wants to give.
Mm-hmm.
And realizing that and now looking at my childhood and being raised and whatever, I saw my dad get taken advantage of a lot. I saw him, you know, by people who claimed they were his friends. And even some family members. Mm-hmm. Like I always saw my, like I realized like I'm always seeing, like I'm looking through like distinct moments in my childhood and through my teens where my dad was just getting taken advantage of. Like people not respecting him. My dad, I feel like he never got the respect he deserved for how much he gave to people and how much he did for people and never asking for anything in return. And I realized like I'm going so hard and wanting to make this money and build this business and be known like Anthony Cirella, like be known because I want people to respect my father. I want people to look and say, whoa, this guy, Anthony Cirella, well, who raised him?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who's his dad?
Mm-hmm.
Like, whoa, I got respect for his father for raising such a fucking G. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like when I realized, I was like, oh my God,
mm-hmm.
like that's fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's pretty insane. Like when I, you know, there's been shit in my family, like I'm talking like years ago, like not my extended family, where we just don't have the best reputation. The Cirellas don't always have the best reputation. I feel like my last name has been tarnished in a way. And not from me or my dad or anything, just other people and shit that they've done. And I'm like, yo, like I'm fighting so hard to make sure this name is glorified. Like I want a legacy for the Cirellas,
mm-hmm.
you know, but deeper than that for my dad. I want people to respect my dad, bro. Because he's, I feel like he's been taken advantage of, whether he knows it or not, so long, for so many years, where he, it was always with like good intentions. He always did everything he did with good intention, but never got the respect he deserved. And I'm like, damn, that's why I'm going so hard. Because I want people through me to respect my dad, which was like tough to think about. Because I was like, I hate the fact that he's been, that he's never gotten the respect he's deserved. And people look at him maybe in a lesser way.
Yep.
Although he's just been the most genuine guy. And he has his issues, as we all do. But he's never been respected for what he's put out in this world. And so I'm like, damn, that's pretty, it's pretty deep for me. Because I'm like, shit, I think I finally understand why I want, why I want to be respected so much. You know? Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%.
And I think I think
good for being aware of that.
I think that you're already doing that.
I'm trying.
No,
I'm
trying. From what I've seen, and I see you every day, and I've seen your dad, and I've seen the things that we've done together and how he's reacted and how people have treated him, and people are respecting him through you. You see what I'm saying? There has been many times in the past 4 or 5 years that people have gone up to him for sure, or he's talked about you and has been super proud.
For sure. Yeah, yeah.
And they respect that. So I think you're on your way, bud.
Yeah. No, no, I think so too. It was just a really big realization.
Yeah.
Like, why do I crave this so much? And like I said, I always knew it was because I wanted to give. But I'm like, I could always feel like there was something deeper than that. Yeah. You know? And I'm like, shit.
You got to do the work to find it sometimes. Yeah. So you had those conversations.
Yeah.
And you realized it, you know? And and that's what it, that's pretty much, I mean, legacy is a big thing. And if you can attach your parents to your legacy,
yeah,
dude, that's like, that's an ultimate goal for like a young man, I would say.
Yeah.
To have people look at you, but not only look at you, look at the people around you.
Well, you're who breaking you. The generational chains, right?
Yeah. And how, how, like, you know, how, like, this guy was raised well. That's what you want people to say.
I just, like I said, I want people to go to my dad and not look at him as the guy who gets taken advantage of. I want them to go to him and say, damn, this motherfucker raised a beast.
Yeah.
You know?
That's your chip on your shoulder.
It is.
And
it
needed it. And to be honest, if you, maybe if that didn't happen, you wouldn't be as driven or as motivated.
For sure.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Well, because you always think, and that was sort of my thing where it was like, I always know everyone has a chip. I came from nothing. I was poor, bro.
Yeah.
I was never poor. I got everything I wanted as a child.
Yeah.
Like I never had to worry about a meal. I always lived in a nice house. Like, so I'm like, what is my why? Like, why am I going so hard? It can't just be to give my family a better life.
Yeah.
It's gotta be deeper. And I realized like, yeah, bro, it's that I want people to respect my dad, bro.
And they do, and they're gonna even more.
Yeah, I hope so. As time goes on, you know?
And I fucking building. Respect your dad, to be honest. Hell yeah, I fucking love bro. That guy,
I'm telling you, he's like the most genuine dude. He just does.
But I think that's also something where, you know, we look at it too, where even in business and with friendships and everything, we're starting to learn that, you know, sometimes being nice all the time doesn't work. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, 100%, bro.
Because we've looked around and we said, well, okay, here's a nice guy here. How did it work out for him? Ah, not so good.
Yeah.
Don't be a nice guy, be a good man, right? That's the saying right now.
Okay.
Don't be a nice guy, be a good man.
Yeah.
So we kind of look around and we're supposed to learn from generations, right? The way I look at it is like, I know my motivation because I grew up with a family that would give me everything they could.
Yeah.
They were always working hard. I was raised by everyone, my grandparents, my father, my mother, my sister. And the way I look at it is a little bit different. I say, I can't be the one to fuck this up.
Yeah.
I look at generations like every generation should get stronger and stronger.
Yep.
If I'm the weak link in this, if I'm the weak link in this family tree, that'll be devastating.
Yeah.
Because I look around and see how hard my family's worked.
It's true. Like, so, they set the bar for you. Now it's like, bro, I can't.
It's like, here's the key. Don't burn down this house, buddy. You see what I'm saying? You better build onto this house. Build a nicer backyard. Put a new fence out there. Redo the driveway.
Hell yeah.
Don't burn down this fucking house, though.
Yeah.
Right? So you gotta, that's how I look at it, right? Yeah. I look at that as my motivation. Obviously, little things in my life have happened where I have chips on my shoulder.
Sure.
But yeah, the main one is always going to result to something to do with your family. Something where maybe you have to prove to your family. Maybe you have to prove to others that your family's this way. Or maybe you want to be the one to change your whole family's tree. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's many. I'm happy you had those conversations because you have to know why you're working hard too.
100%.
You know, if you're like, okay, well, it's nice to, if my family goes on vacations and stuff, that eventually dies out once you take them on vacation.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
But it's even tougher, right? And this is why these kinds of conversations and whatever is important because,
yeah,
like you said, oh, the nice house, the nice car, that stuff dies out.
Well, you buy everything and then what?
Well, it dies out, But then for me, it was dying out. But I'm like, I still have this burning desire, yeah, but what is it?
Yeah.
And I think once you fucking figure it out,
yeah,
then you can go even harder.
Yes.
Like, you know what I'm trying, mm-hmm, to say?
I agree. And for anyone that's listening or watching this, like, if you feel like you've got to a place where you're not motivated and you used to be motivated, go spend some time with your family.
Yeah. 100%.
See what happens.
100%. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're going to get that fire right back because you're getting that energy from the people that made you what you are. Yeah. And you realize, hey, oh, fuck, this is the reason I'm on this earth. Never mind. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? Not the Lambo or the Maybach, yeah, even though I'm down for both.
Yeah, you like those things.
I, sure, need both, yeah, ASAP. Mm-hmm. Go sit down with your grandparents. Go sit down with your mother.
Yeah.
Have a conversation. You're just going to zone out and say, oh, this is why.
But even, it's funny, even when you mentioned the Lambo, the Maybach, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think in this last year, I had a super awakening on that as well because I about a year ago, a year and a half almost, I got a Range Rover. And that was a car, like, as a kid, I dreamed of having a Range, yep, Rover. I loved Range Rovers. I've always been a truck guy. I loved Range Rovers. And I finally got it. And honestly, a year later, I don't give a fuck.
So yeah, that's a good thing.
I don't give a fuck, yeah, about the, yeah, Range Rover.
Of course.
And that's the honest truth. And that for me was another awakening where I'm like, yeah, okay, even something that as a kid, I spent 15 years of my life dreaming of getting this car, and then I got it and it was good for 3 weeks.
Prime example.
That's why, yeah, go ahead.
We're in Tulum, right?
Yeah.
You see any like crazy whips here?
No. Zero.
Okay. No, are you having a great time?
The streets are fucked here, though.
I'm loving my life.
Do you think you would need to go get a range to
here? No.
Exactly. No. It's just
environment. It's environment.
A fucking sick four-wheeler here is like all you need.
An ATV, $5,000
Same thing when I was in Costa Rica, man. Like, yeah, like I don't need the jewelry and like all the watches and all this shit. Like, yeah, the more minimal, the better.
Okay, so give me your Rolex then.
Yeah, what the fuck are you talking about? No, but fine. But hold on. It's important you experience that earlier than later, yeah, right? We had that conversation, right?
Me and you, for sure.
We both got Range Rovers.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I said, bro, I need my dream car now. Because I'm dreaming still. We need to go now. Yeah, I need it. Yeah. And unless you... Now, I'm not saying go out and buy your dream car when you don't have the money. Mm-hmm. I'm saying buy those materialistic things and watch how they make you feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you'll start to understand and do it earlier than later.
Just get it out of the way.
Yeah. Get it out of the way. Get that feeling out of the way because you don't want to work your whole life for a Range Rover. You get to 50 years old, you bought that Range Rover, then you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, two weeks and you're bored.
It's like, bro, I've been working for 50 years to get this, right, thing. That's,
yeah,
how I feel.
Yeah, yeah, so exactly. That's why I'm not against buying materialistic things. I'm a fancy guy. I like to have fancy things too. But at the same time, I've experienced so much things that it's like, okay, that I understand how cars make me feel now. I get it. You're so happy for 3-4 weeks, mm-hmm, and then it's a fucking car. It has problems. You got to change a tire. You got to put gas. It's the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
Right? That's why traveling is so important.
Yeah.
Because if you do not travel, mm-hmm, you're going to think that bubble you're in is life.
Yes.
It's not life.
Exactly.
Right? Like Matt said, we came here. Dude, I could live here with an ATV and be fine. That could be, yeah, my car.
We've been living here... With bikes, with bro.
Bicycles. You know how much I'm enjoying the walk to the gym in the morning?
Yeah.
It's a 30-minute walk.
Ask me if I'd ever walk to the gym in Toronto. Never.
Brutal.
I don't even care where, even if it was down the street, I wouldn't do it.
It's just the reality is your nervous system is way more calm here.
Yeah.
Which is way healthier for you,
too. But also, like, think about it. Like, you appreciate so much more here.
It's true.
Right? You appreciate, like, when it's raining here, I appreciate the rain.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at the rain like, oh, thank you for the rain.
Yeah.
Dude, when I'm in Toronto and it rains,
I want to kill myself.
I call this guy, say, dude, book the flight now. Book it now.
Yeah, get me out of here.
Right? Because it's important. It's important to travel and see different perspective. That'll help you with even what you want in life. Mm-hmm. Right? It helps you realize things. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, you got to do the work. You got to have the tough conversations. And guys, if you're ever feeling anything, you feel like shit, like you're down, like, bro, DM us.
Yeah, shoot us a DM. We always answer our DMs.
Shoot Matt a DM. This guy will talk about sacral energy with you.
Yeah.
It's awesome. We'll get you set up.
And be around people that give you good energy. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Be around the right people. Mm-hmm. If you find yourself surrounded by people who are taking your energy, that's not the right people for you, you know? And that's just going to put you in a bad place. Worst cycle you
can get into.
You know? So,
and you become them.
Exactly.
Okay, guys.
I'm going to need a dart now.
Yeah, so do I think.
Jesus.
Wow. Okay. It's almost 2 hours.
Guys, let us know if you guys are listening, watching, drop a comment. Let us know if you like these talks. Mm-hmm. We love these talks.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
More host episodes for sure.
Yeah, more coming.
Let us know. Just let us know. Hit us up. Drop a comment.
If you made it this far, guys, honestly, we fucking love you. Fucking follow everything, everything. I'm not even gonna get serious with it. Subscribe if you're not subscribed. Leave a comment if you're listening. Appreciate you. Download, follow us, whatever happens when you listen. Love you guys, and we are out.
Peace.